Let's get stuck into it. Adam Peacock, Code Sports, joins us for our weekly update. Adam, good afternoon.
How are you?
Very well. The AFL, they do so many things really well, but then they seem to make a hash of stuff. And ironically, I thought as the acting CEO is a female, this report on the abuse that female umpires have been getting, and it's been around for a while, but sort of got buried until they came out with a very late apology.
Yeah, well, no one's perfect. So, yeah, it's like the AFL, as you say, do a lot of things right, but this one has just been a total hatch. Made a hash of it, I should say, a hatchet job. It's not a hatchet job, they've made a hash of it.
Yeah.
It's definitely terrible. They've come out with this report and then they've tried to let it just drift away. But now that it's been uncovered, it probably gets more coverage than it would if you just owned up to it straight away. I mean, the whole subject of the whole matter is absolutely horrible and needs fixing. Like, you're talking female referees in regional areas going to games and doing a first team, first grade match, and the seconds are on the cans and on the hill and just giving it to them, saying, oh yeah, go and bend down and pick up the ball in front of me and all that. It's just repulsive stuff. And if your daughter, wife, cousin, whatever was involved in it, you'd be mortified and you'd want to go and seek retribution. But yeah, it's not good, and they've got to really they'll probably appoint a task force and try and get to the bottom of it. But it can't be lip service; they've got to actually do something about this. And I don't know how they do it, but they've got the resources to be able to do it. They're the biggest sporting organisation in Australia.
Yeah, but I think the how is the really important one. You know, whether or not it's additional security people there or whatever. But you know, for a lot of particularly regional and small country areas, that in itself, you know, it's going to have to be the AFL dipping in because they can't afford to do that sort of thing.
Well, no, they don't need, in my opinion, I don't think it's a case of, like, oh, let's give them more security guards or blah, blah, blah. It's just, that, to me, smacks of Band-Aid. I actually think that it's club punishment's got to come in. The clubs themselves have got to lead and weed these people out and not allow that behaviour to take place at their home ground. Like, these country clubs, and there's some fantastic people involved in every single sporting club family around all of Australia, no matter what the sport. And yeah, it's harsh that they might have to be the ones to uphold the standards, but what's the point of having standards if you can't uphold them? So I think it's up to the leadership of each individual club to get on top of it and not allow this stuff to happen. It's just, this is the 21st century. This is caveman stuff.
Yeah. Hey, talking to 21st century as well, the age-old problem with players going to the pub. I mean, the West Coast Eagles are in more strife than the early Settlers anyway at the moment. I mean, I reckon I could get a game with them the way they're going, and that, tell me, that's saying something. But I see they've had a couple of players, even after they got flogged there the other day, gone to the pub. And, of course, Jack Ginnivan from Collingwood having a great breakout season, but, you know, he's went and had a few beers as well. What are your thoughts on this? Is it too hard to stop these young fellas going to have a beer, or should they just go, mate, we're earning a poultice, just do what you're bloody told?
Well, firstly, I would have thought that it's just a case of, I think there's too many team rules in team sports. It's the individual has to fit in and get the most out of themselves. If they can't realise that, and if Ginnivan wants to go and have a beer or two with his mates, if he thinks that that's going to affect help his performance, great. Yeah, go do it. If it relaxes the mind, if you go and forget about playing footy and being the big emerging star at one of the biggest clubs in Australia, fine. If that's how you deal with it, that works for you. I'd say Dane Swan would have had the odd beer or two during the course of his career when he was playing. He won a Brownlow, so he knew what he was doing. But not everyone's the same. The West Coast one's different. That's just dumb. Like, you've got COVID breakouts. You've got a club under siege, barely able to scratch together a team each year. That's just stupid. That's worse than in my opinion. And they didn't need to do what they did, but they still did it. And now the whole club, as a consequence, pays the price because they're not available.
Yeah, just turn out of the wind a bit there, if you can, Adam. That was just lost it.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. Cool. The the Miami Grand Prix on this weekend. Daniel Ricciardo. It's not been a fantastic year, to say the very least, for him. And he's starting to make little noises about the perhaps retiring. And I guess in Grand Prix terms, he's 32 or 33. He's no spring chicken anymore.
No, and he's just had not a wretched time because he won a Grand Prix last year. So. Yeah. Wasn't the worst season of all time, but just consistent results are really, really difficult for him. So he might be thinking, look, I don't know how much longer I can keep this up for. I'm past 30. Do I want to do other things with my life? That's the important thing. If he wants to go and do something else with his life, and I don't think he's going to want for something because he's on like $15, $20 million a year. So he's all right. But it's just that drive that he's got and wants less. Hopefully he has a good one in Miami. He wasn't that bad at Imola the last Grand Prix. He finished sixth in qualifying, just had a little bingle on the first corner in the race, and that knocked him out of commission. But yeah, the pace of the McLaren is not horrible. It's just a bit of a way off the top two teams, which are Ferrari and Red Bull at the moment. So sustained success for him is finishing fifth and sixth. And if he's lucky, he's hoping that the two teams I just mentioned have a bad weekend with their engines. So, it's hoping for things outside your control, which has been the problem for Daniel Ricciardo and hasn't quite worked
the last couple of years. The other thing that's put a little bit of heat on him, though, is the fact that his teammate, Norris, seems to now consistently out-qualify and outpace him.
Yeah, that was in the News Corp papers through the week. There was a really in-depth dive into every single session, be it practice, qualifying, race. Where does Lando finish as opposed to Daniel? And it's overwhelmingly in the favour of Lando in terms of who's quicker. So that's a problem. That puts pressure. But every team has to have a one and a two, I guess. And that's the hierarchy that's been established there. But it seems they get on. It's not like a horrible, poisonous relationship. So that helps.
Yeah, it does. Talking of Miami too, first time there. And I guess America, you know, very much is in the eye of the F1 because plenty of dough there and not too many problems in comparison to some of the European countries, particularly as we go forward at the minute.
Yeah, a massive market. It's owned by Liberty now, a big financial organisation, and they're pumping money. They see obviously Europe is the established base of Formula One. How do they grow? Asia, yes. China, a bit difficult at the moment given all the trade restrictions that are on the place and given the fact that they've locked themselves away because of COVID again. So where is it? It's America. It's the United States of America, 330 million people, capitalist epicenter of the world. Three races they're going to have as of next year because they're going to add a Las Vegas round as well. So, yeah, they see it as the big market boom, and it's all off the back of Drive to Survive as well.
Yeah. And just finally, A-League, good finish to that?
Yeah, really exciting finish. So three teams can actually win the premiership, which is first past the post, with games coming up across the next few days. But they're all Melbourne teams, so it's Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City and Western United. It's a really exciting finish to the season, and hopefully it finishes with a bit of a pop, because it's been a hard sell this season with all the COVID reschedules and a TV deal that kind of has made the sport disappear a little bit. Hopefully we get a good finish to the season.
Hey, Adam, always good to chat. Thanks for that. Have yourself a great week.
You too.
All the best. Adam Peacock, Code Sports, joining us on the Sideline View.